I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm curious, who here had to read Silas Marner in school when they were a child? About half the group. That was how it was at the early service. I'm curious about this. This used to be the book that you always had to read in school, and you had to get through Silas Marner. If you didn't read it, like I never read it, my husband did. I was reminded of the story recently. Quick summary. The story is about this man named Silas Marner, who is accused of stealing his church's money, and he is wrongly found guilty. Everything in his life crumbles after that. The woman that he was going to marry breaks off the engagement. She ends up marrying his best friend instead. He loses his faith in God entirely, and he runs away. He flees to a place in the countryside where no one knows him. And it seems all is lost for poor Silas until he meets this little orphaned girl who he adopts. He names her Hephzibah. He calls her Epi for short. And this little girl turns his entire life around. She grows up to be beautiful and smart, and he's so proud of her, and he loves her. And he feels that with this adopted family, he has now been given a new chance. He now has abundant life. God is the source of life and abundance. And in the deepest parts of ourselves, we know that. We can understand that. We can grasp the truth that God, yeah, God's the source of abundance. And yet, this is so much easier to believe when your life is going well. Like Silas, if you look at your life and you see that you have enough, and whatever enough means to you, that your family's all doing okay, that your relationships are pretty good, you're making enough money, I don't know, your socks match, whatever it is, however you define that, it's easy to believe that God brings abundance. But when life doesn't all fall into place, when the world feels fragile and the most important pieces of your life are falling down all around you, that's when doubt sets in. The circumstances of our lives can change and shift so suddenly. And it's so hard to believe that God is the source of abundance if your life isn't feeling all that abundant. So what do we do when that happens? What do we do when it feels like God has abandoned us and forgotten about this promise of abundant life? What do we do when we doubt whether or not God's going to keep his promises? So this is the very question that the people of Israel were asking in our Isaiah reading this morning. Little backstory, they are a people of grief. They have spent years and years in exile. Their homeland was taken away from them, living in poverty in a foreign country. Their temple, the most sacred place that was in their lives, was completely destroyed. Their secure livelihood was thrown up into the air and all came crashing down. And now, the context of our reading today is that they've returned to the land of their homeland, and they realize it's not all going to get restored tomorrow because there's so much work to do. They have to reestablish their communities. The children don't have food. The crops aren't growing. The livestock are dying. They feel so far from the home that they once had. They feel like they might as well still be in exile. So these are people who are hurting. These are people who are well acquainted with suffering. And Isaiah steps up to the microphone to remind them of God's promises for their future, even though things still look pretty bleak. And it's interesting, Isaiah is also not just talking to the people, he's also talking to God. He's interceding to God, boldly reminding God, hey, you promised restoration to Israel. So this prophet, Isaiah, has seen the long arc of the story of these people, both before they went into exile and then now after they have come home. So Isaiah knows the end of the story. He remembers God's promises back from the beginning. So with that in mind, he wants to point beyond those present circumstances to that bright future in God's kingdom. And that's a future that looks like beautiful restored cities and whole happy families and land that produces crops and fat livestock and has everything that they need to live abundantly. God promised this, and Isaiah grabs that microphone to say, "Remember, God, you said this," and also to remind the people of that truth. Isaiah's words bring a sign that there is a future that does not end in death and destruction. When times are hard, what we look for, what God's people have always looked for, are signs. We need reminders, not only that God's got this, but that God is actively doing something about the mess, whatever mess we have on our hands. We need signs of God's love because it helps us get through the lean times. And it turns out that there are signs all around us. That's what this season in the church year teaches us. Epiphany is about seeing signs, glimpses of the grace that is to come. The story of the wedding at Cana is a sign. It's not just some random miracle that Jesus performs because he likes wine or because he wants to keep his hosts from embarrassment or because he's following Mary's orders. This is a sign of God's abundance. If the kingdom of God is like a wedding feast, then Jesus points to that heavenly feast by transforming an earthly one. He does this in transforming this ordinary wedding that has run out of what it needs, and in so doing gives us a sign that this is also what God does for all of us. That in the end, God does give us what we need, and that the story of abundance is what God is all about. There's also a sign in Isaiah. The sign is in giving the people a new name. Isaiah says, "You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, 'My delight is in her,' and your land, 'married.'" So that name, "My delight is in her," in Hebrew is Hephzibah. So Silas Marner later takes that, or George Eliot later takes that to the story of Silas Marner. And it's a name that's associated not just with adoption, but intimacy. "And the land shall be called married." In the Hebrew, it's Beulah. Beulah land means married land. And what that means is that God wants to offer a marital contract with the people. God wants this deep intimacy relationship with the people because he loves them without measure, and that new name is a sign of that. They belong to him, and their future has entirely changed, even if it doesn't seem that way, even if the present circumstances are still pretty rough. They are a new creation. Being given a new name is powerful. It's a present-day sign that points to a deeper reality in a person. So, to give an example, a couple of years ago, my husband and I adopted a puppy. And for the record, I would really like some preacher points that I have never mentioned her in a sermon before. Because I don't want to be that pastor that, you know, talks about how cute her dog is all the time. But she is the cutest dog in the world forever and ever, amen. You can fight me later if you disagree. Anyway, so we adopted this dog, and she came from a rescue agency, and she was fostered in a woman's home for a little while. And that foster mom gave her a name while she was living there. But when she came home with us, my husband and I decided, like most people who adopt dogs, to give her a new name as a sign that she belonged to us, that this dog is coming home with us. She's going to be part of our family. And she has a totally new future ahead of her. You see the same thing happen in movies when a character undergoes a big personal change. In the Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, there's this character who is a stormtrooper. And for the record, if you've never seen Star Wars, or if you don't like Star Wars and don't care about stormtroopers or anything, you can fight Dixon and Nick later if you disagree. But just to say, a stormtrooper is basically a soldier for the bad guys, and they don't have names, they have numbers. This particular stormtrooper was named FN2187. One day he decides that he's had enough fighting for the Empire and decides to run away and leave everything behind. And he goes and he ends up making friends with people who are just like him. One of these friends gives him a new name. He says to him, "No, you're no longer FN2187. You're now Finn." And in that moment in the movie, you see the actor's face, the character just lights up when he hears his new name for the first time. It's not just a new name. He is a new creation. You see him transformed in that moment, and he knows that his life, his story, is not going to end in death and destruction. If any of this is sounding familiar, good, because we do this in church too. We get a new name in baptism. Last week, we all stood up here and baptized three children. And there's a moment in the liturgy, especially if we're baptizing an infant, where the priest will say, "Name this child." And that might sound like a logistical reminder, like one of us has forgotten the child's name. But it's actually a very intentional, important moment. We're giving that child their name because in baptism, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And yes, it is usually the same name that that child was given when they were first born. But the moment signifies something bigger. It's a change that has occurred in the core of this child's being that says your name now means that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. If you are discouraged, if you feel like God's forgotten about you, if you are worried about your future or the future of this world, a good thing to do might be to look for signs of God's abundance everywhere in our world, even in unusual places. And if for the life of you, you can't find any of these signs, simply remember your name. Remember your baptism. You were once marked as Christ's own forever. Because of that new name, your story doesn't end in death and destruction. Your story is one of restoration and intimacy in God. That's the promise that we will shelter around when it seems like all is lost. That's what we can even take to God in prayer. We can grab our own microphones and say to God, "Remember, you promised this. You promised restoration and abundance." And we can also assign a great deal of hope to that promise. Like the people of Israel, we're given the knowledge that we've been claimed by God, just like family. It is intimate and powerful. We're made to be family with God. So today, let us give thanks for all of the small signs in our lives. Let's give thanks for being family with God, for new names, and for signs that are everywhere, whether they are in books you have to read as a child, like Silas Marnus, or in puppies, or in Star Wars, or in wedding feasts that never end. All these signs that show that God's world is full of abundant life. Amen.